Today's October 27th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $67,736.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Man, oh man, Rick. We talked last episode about whether or not we were going to get October, right?
Yeah.
We still have a few days left, although not many. And I think I was hoping for 78,000 by the time this month ends, according to like the average price increase that we've seen in October. But it looks like we were starting to make a run. I think we got up to 69,000 like on Monday, like Sunday into Monday. And then it kind of dropped back down again. And now, as said in the beginning of the episode, we're at $67,736. So not quite there. I don't know. What are your feelings? Do you think we still could have some of that rocket fuel? Or
I don't know. I don't think so. But hey, just think about how this month started off. It was a down month in the first week. So the fact that we're above water from the start, that's pretty good in my book.
Yeah. So go ahead. Let's talk about our theoretical purchases.
Okay. So theoretical purchase one, back a year ago today, Bitcoin price is basically half of what it is right now. It was like 33. And I said, if you bought $3,000 of Bitcoin today, you'd be in a good spot. And if you did that, you would have been able to purchase 0.0885 Bitcoin. And that $3,000 investment today would be worth $59.95. So almost doubled.
Very nice.
Very nice. And then the second theoretical purchase is just, hey, the halving price usually, by the end of the bull market, you know, the halving price and what it's worth is usually up. And it's been kind of up and down. I mean, Bitcoin has been sideways at least since March, and that theoretical purchase would have happened at the recent halving on April 19th. And $1,000, April 19th, you know, 6 months later, you're still sitting at $1,059. So you're positive, but not a whole lot.
No, but I mean, if you think about that, like, when we look at that first theoretical purchase from 1 year ago of $3,000, and it's basically double, that doesn't typically happen in most investments.
No. And that kind of just goes to show that your timing when you're buying Bitcoin makes a huge difference. Because when the price is down at 60, or it's at 67 now, and let's say it was about 34,000 something,
yeah,
or 33,000 something. I don't know if we're ever going to see $33,000 Bitcoin again.
Yeah, I don't believe so. Because I think even if, I guess it depends on how the rest of this bull market plays out. Like if this was the top of the bull market, then I'd say possibly. But I think more than likely what we'll see is, you know, $60,000 Bitcoin again. I think we could see that after it raises to heights. But that's just because of the way that the market moves within these cycles.
Yeah, at least what it's done historically.
Right, yeah.
Previous all-time highs, and then it comes back down. So, you know, and that's the other thing. You know, if the bull market goes nuts and you still haven't purchased Bitcoin, don't get FOMO at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, it's almost better to wait, right?
Yeah. You know, unless there's some financial cataclysm that, you know, the U.S. government goes into or your particular country goes into, there's a lot of times it's better to wait after this rocket ships take off. Hold your powder.
Yeah. Wait for that rocket to come back down. You know, and what I want to ask you this question too, because I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on this. If say we do get up into like $128,000 range or something along those lines, and then all of a sudden it's announced that it's a strategic reserves for nation states. Do you think at that point you'd probably say, go ahead and start buying some? even if it was all at that, you know, that those highs?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing. Until Bitcoin really becomes money, it's a really speculative asset. And if it does become the world reserve currency, I mean, it's going to be impossible to get your hands on some. So, you know, and I'm talking about after the rocket ship has taken off.
Yeah.
The rocket ship has not yet taken off. So, I mean, it sounds crazy. $67,736 sounds ridiculous for the price of Bitcoin, but it's a very fixed supply. And if the rest of the world adopts it, it's going to, who knows what's going to happen to the price. It's going to go insane.
Yeah.
So,
no, I completely agree. And I think it's kind of interesting to kind of take it from that viewpoint where, you know, you think about that and you're saying, you know, the rocket hasn't taken off yet. We're at this price already, but it hasn't taken off because we haven't really concretely broke that new all-time high. Like, we kind of did, but I mean, even for gauging for inflation and stuff like that, we still really haven't. So yeah, I'm still curious. I'm still optimistic. I don't know. I mean, it is possible. It's entirely possible for Bitcoin to go up $10,000, even in a day, you know? But to hit that $78,000 mark, I don't know if we'll hit that this month. I'm really hoping we do. But that would be pretty nutso if we do.
Yeah.
That's
well, Monday, we'll see. Anything's possible on the Mondays these days.
Yeah.
That's where the action happens, it seems.
Yeah, you can't trust the price action over the weekend, especially now. Like in the past, maybe you could have, but now with the way that the markets are so integrated in traditional finance, it's kind of tough to gauge some of those moves that happen over the weekend when the money, you know, the market movers aren't really involved over the weekend because of course they shut down. They don't trade on weekends. Not like the crypto fools, the crypto fiends.
Yep.
I don't want to call them fools. But yeah. So, and then when we look at the ETF flows this week too, it was a solid week. Really solid week. We had, what was that, on Monday, 294 million. We had a down day on Tuesday of 79 million. Wednesday, 192 million. Thursday, 188 million. And then Friday, 402 million in inflows into the ETFs.
Yep. So, the smallest, I mean, the one down day was dwarfed by all the inflow days, so.
Oh, yeah. Completely wiped that out.
Yeah. So you know, it's usually a good sign.
Yeah. I think it's kind of interesting to see, you know, that much positive inflows into the ETFs. And we're still kind of where we were last week when we recorded. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm still telling you, I mean, we're getting to the end of October.
Yeah.
The election is just right around the corner. That's when I think the real rocket ship takes off.
Yeah.
Assuming there's no crazy shenanigans.
No, I agree. And I mean, I think regardless of which candidate wins, I think we've kind of talked about this. I think regardless of which candidate wins, it'll still be a positive thing in the long run for Bitcoin. But I think if Trump wins, it'll be quicker to ascend in price.
I think it'll be better for Bitcoin because he's been at least rhetorically pro-Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Now, is his rhetoric going to match what he does in office? We don't know that.
Right. No, absolutely. And I mean, that could all change once people start getting their fingers back in the pot and trying to change the way that things are going to work or whatever the case may be. But you brought up something that I thought was kind of interesting because we talked about that. We had a really good close of the week last week. You know, we were at, like I said, about $69,000 going into Monday, and then it kind of tanked. But there were some things that came out probably towards the end of the week of the previous week that we didn't catch that you noticed, apparently. There was something with the Minneapolis Fed.
Yeah, they basically put out a paper saying that they need to clamp down on Bitcoin because of its fixed supply. It's hurting their ability to inflate the money supply, right? Or just print money.
Yeah.
And so they were proposing a tax. Well, they proposed a tax on it anytime it flows from anybody, which that will be hard to enforce, especially if it's direct payments to individuals. Maybe they can force it through Coinbase and, you know, exchanges, but that's kind of interesting. And they even floated out banning Bitcoin. So,
yeah. And I've got some information here from the currencyanalytics.com. It says the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Bank has stirred significant conversation about the future of cryptocurrencies, particularly Bitcoin. The report published on October 17th argues that cryptocurrencies should either be taxed or banned entirely to help manage persistent budget deficits. This recommendation arises from the complexities introduced by Bitcoin's fixed supply and its implications for fiscal policy.
Basically, it's a backstop to fiscal irresponsibility, and they can't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a hedge against it all, right?
Yes. Yes. And it's an escape route. If they decide to go hyperinflationary, I should say that. If they go that route with just turning on the money printers on the next level, everyone's going to escape the dollar to something else, and they know it.
Yeah.
So, and the deficit, or not the deficit, but our debt is now at $35.7 trillion. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we've mentioned it before. I want to say it's going up by about $100 trillion. Not $100 trillion. It's increasing by $1 trillion every 100 days.
Every days.
So in kind of in closing on this part of that, the Minneapolis Fed calls for taxation of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies has opened up critical discussion about the future of digital assets in an evolving economic landscape. While the Fed's recommendations reflect valid concerns about budget deficits and illicit activities, they also risk hindering the growth of a sector that is rapidly gaining traction among institutional investors. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on. I don't know how much sway. I mean, they're all the Fed banks are kind of somewhat independent, right? But they are all governed by a main body. So we'll see. I don't know. It seems like there's too much possibility for positive growth. I don't know if this would actually happen or not. But who knows? Like I said, it just depends on what happens with the election, like you said, too. One of the other things that we had that happened this week was it looks like there was some FUD that was put out against Tether. Which, for those of you that don't know what Tether is basically one of the biggest issuers of a stablecoin called USDT. And it's a coin that's basically doesn't go up in value or anything like that, but it basically holds pegged to the dollar. So it's $1 is one Tether. And there were some investigations that had gone on or that were published to have gone on. And it says basically that wasn't true. So, taking to X shortly following the story, Tether Chief Technology Officer Paolo Arduino says the Wall Street Journal is regurgitating old noise. There's no indication, said Arduino, that Tether is under investigation. So, basically, they were just saying that there were some illicit activities that were going on with Tether, not following anti-money laundering rules and sanctions and those types of things that were happening. But it sounds like that's kind of like if you've been in the cryptocurrency space for a while, there's usually a lot of there's a lot of FUD that goes around Tether just because Tether is such a large player in the institution. And I think one of the big concerns that often happens with Tether is that Tether is supposed to be backed 1-to-1. So anytime you have Tether issued, they're supposed to have assets in reserve that match what the Tether being printed is. And I think what caused concern for some of that for a while there was it's got a basket of currencies from around the world that is backing some of that up, but then it also has other assets, whether it's art or anything like that, that backs up the Tether supplies at the same time. So this has been kind of an ongoing thing, and this probably won't be the last time we hear some of the FUD coming out around Tether, but just something to keep an eye on and just to keep in mind, like you'll hear stories, you'll see headlines. And I think this is true for most people most of the time. They read the headline. They don't go any deeper.
Yeah, that's basically the truth. And anymore, if you look at the headlines, they're so filled with propaganda. Like, the headline and the actual story may have nothing to do with each other at all.
Yep. Yeah, and then pay attention to the punctuation, because you'll see something within a headline that says Bitcoin going to zero, and then it'll be a question mark at the end. But people will take that as, oh my God, it's going to zero. Right? There's a lot of stuff like that where you got to just, you got to be, I don't know, you got to be smarter than what they give us credit for.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of us that aren't.
It's true. Well, and people are busy. They look at the headline and that's what they go off of.
Yeah.
So, and then
they got extra jobs for that inflation, right?
Yeah, they do. We did. We talked about that on a couple episodes ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the job growth is mood lighting gigs, not actual jobs. So,
yeah, they're not like careers where you're like, yeah, man, I do this 40 hours a week, 40 plus, you know. It's I do this, this, and this so I can make ends meet. And then one other piece of news that I wanted to bring up, which I thought was kind of interesting, is Microsoft is urging shareholders to vote against a proposal to assess Bitcoin as a diversification investment, says a filing. So apparently, Microsoft is filing for a Schedule A filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission on Thursday. Microsoft laid out issues that will be discussed at the company's next shareholder meeting. One of the proposals suggests that the tech firm should look into Bitcoin as a hedge against inflation and other macroeconomic influences. So it sounds like they're going to be taking a page out of MicroStrategy's playbook and investing some of their money into Bitcoin as an inflation hedge.
Wouldn't it be wild if Microsoft really becomes a Bitcoin company, almost like MicroStrategy, long term, because they got in earlier than most everybody else?
Well, and I think that's kind of the interesting way to look at it. When you think about that, is that it would be like, yeah, MicroStrategy right now has been kind of, I don't know, an odd duck, an outlier, like the rebel in the markets. Like, you've had a few smaller companies kind of follow suit, but nothing major. But whereas if you get Microsoft that does this, like, they're a pretty big company.
Yeah.
How many other companies would follow suit shortly after?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, 67,000, maybe that's the rocket ship we need, is that approval next week. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I think actually the vote's going to be held in, I think, did I say next week, or I think it's going to be in December.
December, okay.
Yeah, I think that's when they're going to have the meeting. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting, kind of talking about this, is that one of the top shareholders of Microsoft is BlackRock.
Yeah. They, who do you think's going to be issuing that cryptocurrency?
Yeah. Talk about, like, I mean, a fiendishly clever plan. Like, they can, BlackRock, don't get me wrong, they're evil bastards, but they're not dumb either.
They know how to make some money, and nothing like double dipping in the company you own to buy services from your company.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because not only would I'm sure Microsoft stock would appreciate greatly from doing something like this, especially if we are kind of strapped into the rocket, because it would be like a loop, right? Like a positive feedback loop where, you know,
yeah,
they're buying, prices going up, their stock value continues to increase. And that's like, when you think about MicroStrategy, and I hadn't thought about this till the other day, but one of the interesting things about MicroStrategy and the thing to watch is MicroStrategy stock will increase significantly and then all of a sudden it'll tank. And what's happening when it's tanking is they're selling proceeds or selling shares and they're buying Bitcoin. So again, when that Bitcoin starts to go back up again, then their stock value goes up and then they get to a certain point and they sell it off again. And they just increase their more share of Bitcoin every time. So you could actually, I mean, you could almost, if you time it right, you can just buy and sell MicroStrategy all the time. And I mean, if other companies start to do that, I don't know, Microsoft probably wouldn't want to have those types of swings that MicroStrategy has been doing. But I don't know. I think it's kind of smart for BlackRock. Like if they're like, oh yeah, that's a really good idea and you should be buying iBit the whole time, they're going to be making money on managing that iBit shares. And then they're going to be making money on the stock appreciation of Microsoft. So it's like, clever people. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Hey, if there's companies out there wanting to hedge their money into Bitcoin, I think this is the time to do it.
Yeah.
I really do think, I don't know what the price is going to get to, but I see at least 100K around the corner.
No, I do too. And I would be happy with 120,000 Bitcoin as the top for this bull cycle, but I don't think that'll be the top. I think if it does, if we do get kind of the boost, like what we're kind of expecting to happen, I mean, we could be looking at $200,000 Bitcoin.
Hey, in this world, anything's possible.
Absolutely. So. And one other thing I wanted to bring up real quick too, gold is still looking pretty good. It's at $2,746 an ounce. So
pretty much a new all-time high.
Yep. Yeah. We just need to get Bitcoin to start doing that same thing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing though. Yeah. I mean, it's been doing great lately, but if you look at a year ago, I mean, Bitcoin, we were looking at the theoretical purchase. The value of Bitcoin has basically gone up 100% in the past year. Gold has gone up 50%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's had a hotter streak lately, but usually when the money flows in, it's been going to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. Like that, you've got that horizon. You've got to adjust that horizon. You got to be looking long term, not necessarily short term.
Right. Though I'm not crapping on gold. I think it's a very solid investment if you have the physical on you. Not yep. paper.
No, absolutely. I agree. I completely agree. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it for me.
Real quick, there is still the newsletter that you can sign up for. And then, of course, we do have the hardware wallets that you can purchase off our website that you're not actually buying directly off our website, but you're getting affiliate links off our website, which helps support the channel. You know, we appreciate that. And all those that have been listening, we've actually gotten quite a lot of new listeners. So we do appreciate you all taking the time to kind of listen to our episodes. And we ask that you just share the episodes with other people. We're two guys. We're not financial analysts. We're not anything else. But we've been into, you know, Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space for a while. And I think it's a passion for us. So we do appreciate that you're listening, and we hope you're enjoying the content that we produce. So. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.